This is Shamir Young with you from Enjoyable.com. I'm excited to bring you another interview from our Pro Photographer Interview Series, episode number 11. Today we're chatting with George Carter, professional wedding, event, fashion, and landscape photographer. George is a native of Michigan and still makes his home there, or I should say here because that's where I'm from as well. A graphic designer and photographer for more than 10 years, his passion is communicating with people and creating powerful, creative images. A graduate of Eastern Michigan University with a Bachelor of Science degree in telecommunications and film, he has always looked for ways to help people connect. Let's not waste any time. Here's the interview. Enjoy. Hi, everybody. I'm hanging with George Clarence, and I'm so excited to just chill and chat with him. And I want to thank you, George, for just taking time out of your busy schedule to share some of your photography expertise with us.
Well, thank you for having me. How are you this morning?
I am wonderful. It's a bright, sunny Michigan day.
Right.
We're both in Michigan. It's bright and sunny, but it's definitely not warm.
Right. Not at all.
Well, first of all, George, just give us an overview of yourself, your background. How did you end up where you are now as a photographer? You can talk about your education, your work experience. How did you get here now?
Very interesting question. As a child, you know, my dad always put a camera in my hand, and even up through high school. So as we traveled and things of the sort, I always had a camera, and I would take pictures here and there. But never really fully embraced the idea of photography or becoming a photographer. It wasn't until, well, I would say high school, I became involved in, you know, DJing and things of the sort. So I was very focused on music and DJing and wanting to be a DJ. And it wasn't until I got to college to where I got involved in my major, which was telecom and film, where I basically was faced with, you know, the music side of a telecom and film major, as well as the television production side as well. And at that point, I kind of grew fond of TV production and directing and writing for television. And as well as, you know, camera operation and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
But it still wasn't enough to capture my interest. So I went on, graduated from college. I took my first career position out of college as a PR manager. And from there, I suffered a layoff. And I started a graphic design and a graphic design business and was in need of a photographer. And I didn't know anyone outside of wedding photographers. I didn't know anyone who did studio work. I didn't know anyone who, I just didn't know any photographers at all outside of wedding photographers or event photographers. And that's what sparked my interest. So from there, this was 2005, I actually bought my first DSLR camera. And I actually took a picture of a flower that was blooming in my mom's front yard, and that picture remains on my wall as my first picture that I had ever taken with my first DSLR that I purchased.
Nice.
So it wasn't until maybe 5 years ago now that I got really serious about photography because I had absolutely fallen in love with photography. It's something that I think about and I work on, you know, all the time. But it wasn't until that point that I really got my hands around the camera and really, really, you know, grew that passion was back in 2005 after, you know, suffering that loss of employment and just looking for, you know, things to enhance my business.
And you actually bring up a really good point as far as graphic design and photography being related. It's a lot of times, I'm a graphic designer as well, and you know, quite often if you're a designer, you're looking for photos or images to use.
Right.
And it's a perfect fit when you can take your own photos, because then you can use it however you want. You don't have to worry about anyone coming after you, or, you know, it's just a really, it's really nice when it works out that way.
Exactly. You know, a lot of times, I mean, looking for stock photography, it was always something in that photograph that just didn't line up correctly with your design.
Right, right.
So, you know, having a camera and having the ability and or the knowledge or know-how to shoot for that, you know, that medium, it does. It makes it extremely easier to get things completed versus, you know, looking for stock images. And stock images can cost a lot.
Oh, they really can, yes.
So, yeah, that definitely helps.
Nice. Now, George, so describe to us your current style of photography right now. What do you do the most of?
Well, I can answer that in two answers. My current style is against the grain.
Interesting.
I say that because, you know, I believe in mentorships.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that, you know, at whatever age you're at, you should always have a mentor because there's always something new that you can learn. And it may not be anything new to your mentor, but it may be new to you.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something in the past that they've learned that they've just decided to share. So as I got mentors to help me along with learning the camera and learning how to shoot manual even, and just learning photography in general, I was taught all these things. I was taught, you know, if you're shooting a wedding, don't shoot at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure your shutter speed is fast enough to not have, you know, motion blur. Things like that. So now those things are popular.
Right, right.
Those things that I was doing at the time that I would say kind of got me in trouble. I grew it into my own style of, you know, just kind of going against the grain as to what was the standard then versus what is now. So I would say definitely going, and I still go against the grain. If you tell me I shouldn't use something to do a shoot or if I shouldn't, you know, approach an event this way, then I may try it just to see what the outcome is because I feel that helps me, first of all, get a better understanding of why or why you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But it also helps add to my style of making my shots unique.
Right, right.
But what I shoot most often is I do a lot of weddings and events. And as of recently, I've become very interested in fashion and beauty and glamour.
Oh.
So within the past couple of years, I've really taken a dive into lighting and understanding lighting. And even with that, you know, I found that some people will say, well, you shouldn't have shadows or you should minimize the amount of shadows. So what do I do? I go into a studio session and create dark shadows in a lot of my images. And some of those images have been some of the most popular amongst, you know, I don't want to say my fan base, but, you know, among people who like my work.
Right. Your tribe. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with a little exploration, you know, and especially with shadows, you can get some really dramatic portraits with those.
Exactly. And I think that's the beauty of it. I think, you know, staying away from the things sometimes that people tell you that you should stay away from, I think, you know, you miss out. You miss an opportunity when you stay away. You miss that opportunity to be unique, to mm-hmm. go your own style, and to learn. Because sometimes you have to make those mistakes in order to realize, well, this is why this doesn't work out well.
Absolutely.
But in my case, I think a lot of those taking those risks and going against the grain, if you will, has really helped me create a style of my own.
Excellent, excellent. So how do you get yourself inspired for a photo shoot?
Well, depending on the shoot, I will actually grab a magazine mm-hmm. along those lines, or I may look at images on the web to see what, quote-unquote, is the industry standard.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you may see something there that you like, and the idea would be to take that and build upon it. But I think the one thing that motivates me is taking the time to storyboard of a photo shoot and basically equipment planning. You know, when I have a great idea of what the individual is looking for, whether it be a wedding or in-studio session, it gives me time to really plan out how to execute that shoot. So by looking at the magazines, developing a storyboard from what the client has told me, it really helps motivate me because it gives me the opportunity to really lay out ideas of how to execute during that shoot. And these ideas are expressed with the client because a lot of times they'll come in and we'll shoot what they want first. And then if there's time remaining, then we may get into some of the things that, you know, the additional things that I felt may be useful. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times those additionals are widely accepted by the customer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You love it when it works out that way.
Exactly.
And even storyboarding, you mentioned, you know, a lot of photography, it is telling a story right. of the person that you're shooting.
Right.
Especially with wedding photography where there's a specific sequence of events.
Right.
Yeah, and a lot of times with the client, you know, they're basically reliving that.
Right, exactly. And that's the idea of that that end product offering, you know, is to make sure that they're reliving the moment. Like mm-hmm. I said, a lot of times with weddings, you're faced with time dilemmas.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to kind of plan the day out and have a plan of execution really helps defeat some of those things that, you know, that are thrown at you, those curveballs.
Right.
When you're, you know, at a wedding and it starts an hour late. we've been at weddings that started 2 hours late, and we're really at a crunch for time.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
The planning really helps execute in the long run.
Yeah, and you know, for every wedding, there's always something that happens that you did not expect.
Right.
Always something.
Right.
So, George, tell us, what's your typical go-to gear for your shoots?
Go-to gear. It really depends. You know, some days you want to take out everything. some days you want to be mm-hmm. a minimalist and take out just a few pieces. You know, I forgot to mention that one of my passions with photography is doing landscape work.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily, you know, anything with a riverfront, lights and skies. I genuinely enjoy that. So there are days where I just go out with, you know, one camera and lens, a tripod and maybe some filters, and it really relaxes me.
Mm-hmm.
But the go-to gear for a typical shoot, I would definitely say the Canon 5D Mark III or the Canon 7D, depending mm-hmm. on the shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say right now what I make typical would be either the 24 or the 70.
Okay.
Or the 70 to 200. Now, once again, if it's, you know, something smaller in nature, like headshots or something like that, I'll stay between the 85mm 1.2
mm-hmm.
and the 24 to 70 for those.
Very nice. Very nice. And so what's your favorite photography accessory other than your camera, and why?
I'll have to say it would be my neutral density filter. I love long exposure shots, but I really love long exposure shots that take place during the day.
Okay.
It's just, this filter is amazing. It's, if you look at it, it's like sunglasses for your camera. And what it does is it allows you to, you know, get into maybe a 15, 20, 25 second shutter.
Mm-hmm.
30-second shutter, if you will, during the day. So you capture things like movement, like clouds and things of that sort during the day, and it really makes for an interesting shot. So I would say that's probably my favorite accessory outside of my camera.
Excellent. Now describe to us your post-process workflow. What kind of software do you like to use after a photo shoot?
You know, the number one thing is definitely trying to get it right in camera.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is so edited nowadays. And
that's true.
It's amazing. I mean, some of the things you see, and I'm like, this cannot be straight from camera. But I'll digress on that. But my favorite tool for editing would be definitely Adobe Lightroom.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I was always taught to get it right in camera. Before there was Lightroom, we were using Qimage. We always use Photoshop, but I think Lightroom really it really took everything that you needed and put it in one place for editing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I see a lot of features from Photoshop and QImage in this particular software, but it was a very simplified version of getting edits completed. So after you get it as close as you can in camera, of course, when you bring it into Lightroom, the functionality of Lightroom just makes things a lot easier. But some of the other software that I use Portrait Professional. I'll use Photoshop still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the three that I primarily stick with. Because Photoshop is really the all-around tool, if you know how to use the tools within it to work with your images. But
mm-hmm.
I definitely use Lightroom as my introductory phase of workflow. And then if there's additional things needed, like blemish removal and things of that sort, I may venture into Portrait Professional or Lightroom, or Photoshop,
mm-hmm.
to clear up some of those items.
Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that you made the point about trying to get it right with your camera in camera. It's a very delicate balance when you begin to edit your photos, especially with portrait photography.
Right.
And there are other examples of photography that's a little more surreal on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really it's more related to manipulating the image in Photoshop, and it can look really great.
Right.
But as far as weddings and portraits, there's a line that you can cross as far as, you know, over Photoshopping or over editing something.
Yeah. And we've even seen it in weddings, and I'm like, hey, what happened here? You know, we've just kind of surfing the web and looking at what others are doing, and, you know, you just kind of see some things, and you wonder what the thought process was and the final edit and why it, you know, arrived to look that way. So, definitely.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain point where if you're used to using Photoshop so much, and I speak from experience even, where if you're working on a particular photo, you almost cease to see it as you make edit upon edit. I used to work for a magazine, and you know, no matter how perfect a model looked, we always Photoshopped, or we always did.
Right.
But we had to be careful because a couple times, you know, it's you look at it and you're editing for an hour, a couple hours, and you go, oh, this is great. And then you leave it and you come back the next day and you're like, oh my goodness, she doesn't look like a human. What was I thinking? So it's definitely
it
a line.
It becomes a standard. You know,
yeah.
It becomes something that you just become so accustomed to your right. You just kind of overlook it after a while. But it's not until you walk away and come back that you realize, like, wait a minute, we've gone too far. So
absolutely. Absolutely. Now let's get into the lessons that you've learned over your professional photography career. I really enjoyed this segment of the interview. What is the most common mistake you see professional photographers make? It can be technical, it can be business. If you wanted to share any mistakes that you've even made in the past, we'd love to hear it.
Well, I would say that, me personally, you know, reinvesting in your business is something that I'm seeing now a lot of photographers don't do.
Okay.
You know, just in my interactions, I actually have a Facebook group called Photo Walk Michigan.
Hmm.
And, you know, I try to put things in the group to open up discussion.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things that you get back is, you know, you can just kind of read between the lines to realize that sometimes some individuals are not necessarily interested in reinvesting,
mm-hmm.
or even, you know, separation, you know, separating the money that you're making from photography to go back into photography versus, you know, using that money for other things. But then, you know, education about equipment. I fell into this rut myself where I was buying things just to buy them. Because
mm-hmm.
I saw a shot done with, you know, this particular lens, so I had to have that lens. Not really knowing that if I had just taken, you know, the previous lens I had purchased, you know, not too far back, that you could have gotten the same effect. So those are some of the things that I see individuals that are doing. You know, And it's something that's starting to be reoccurring in my reading as I'm reading more. You're finding out that a lot of people are doing this. A lot of photographers are, you know, they're not educating themselves on equipment. They're just buying it because it's the latest and the greatest. And don't get me wrong, I'm a gadget nut. I love gadgets, you know. But I had to be, when it comes to my business, I have to be more conscious of what I'm spending my money on. And making sure that I have money in those coffers for, you know, design changes or, you know, photo reorders if someone decides that they needed something different from what they initially requested and things of that sort. So I would definitely say education. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a mistake. I mean, sometimes, even with me, you have to kind of make that mistake before you realize that this doesn't work. And for some, you know, the investing portion, the education portion, you can get to a point where it can become dangerous for you financially, mm-hmm. For the sake of your business. So I would say that, you know, those two things are the things that I see that are not being taken seriously by some that can, you know, lead to potential dangers with your business.
Yeah, we had an earlier photographer in the interview series, and he mentioned, oh, who was it? I can't remember his name, but he was put into a dangerous position as far as money goes because he was spending so much on equipment.
Right.
And in this day and age, anybody and everybody can get their hands on equipment, but it's the education that really sets you apart as a photographer.
Exactly. And I would add to that too, you know, I don't do in-studio work all the time, you know, but even when that stuff is not in use, you have to make a way for it to be used. So, you know, a lot of times family members become the target of, you know, just test shots. And they run when I call them, you know, because they're like, okay, I know what's getting ready to happen here. It's going to have me in here for an hour, hour and a half shooting light at my face, and I'll never see the photos. So, but practice, you know, it's... To be a professional, you know, it's 100,000 hours. We've heard it before. It's not that you get paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's really about practice. It's about the time you put in. That's what makes you a professional. That's what makes you an expert at what you do. So if you only touch your camera when it's time to do a shoot, then you end up suffering the idea that your shots all look alike. There's nothing that's setting one shoot apart from the next.
Mm-hmm.
So I would also say practice is another thing that people aren't doing. It's something that, you know, some are just, all these things that I'm speaking to are things that I've done,
mm-hmm.
you know, not judging anyone else or, you know, levying my opinion upon anyone else, but, I've done these things and it was time where I was not picking up my camera to practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't understand why I wasn't growing. So now it's you know, a point that if I'm not touching my camera every day, then I have to touch it for a multiple of hours during that week. But practice is another thing that I see that some individuals are taking for granted.
Absolutely. And I've made those same mistakes. And I find with myself personally, it becomes kind of an ebb and a flow, a cycle. There we go. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I really have to be careful because if I get busy with other things, or I do graphic and web design as well, and so sometimes that takes me away from photography, and before I know it, I haven't touched my camera in a week.
Exactly.
Yeah, and so you really have to stay on top of things.
And it's so easy to happen, especially when you're involved in other mediums.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like this weekend, we had planned to get together, a few of us, to just really practice and shoot, but I was working on a logo design for a customer. So it gets to that point to where you get so engulfed in doing other things that you're right. You don't get a chance to touch it. But I'll tell you this, week I will be spending a lot of time in here shooting my camera, trying to figure out what's the next phase of this thing. So
excellent. And so next question for you, it might be a little bit tricky, but in your opinion, what makes a good photo stand out from just an average photo?
Technique.
All right. No hesitation. I like it.
You know, it's, everybody has their own style and technique. And, you know, like I said, I go against the grain, so I'm going to do something different. And I'll put things out there for people to critique, and once again, they'll come back and say, well, you know, you have too many shadows under the neck, or you should have reflected light here. And I respect that. Mm-hmm. I mean, that goes to show that, you know, people that I'm dealing with, they understand what we do and how it should be done. But then again, they know me, and they know that I'm going to go against the grain. I'm not going to do anything that's normal, I guess.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When it comes to shooting, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to do something that's going to make me stand out, like you said. The team that I shoot weddings with,
mm-hmm.
everybody has their own technique, and it's funny because when we batch the pictures together, you can tell who shot what.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes, you know, we tend to overlap, so there's a need to go back and look at the metadata to figure out who actually did the shots, but it's a good gel. So I would definitely say that thing that sets you apart is your technique.
Excellent, excellent. And what is the one thing you wish you knew before you became a professional photographer?
Wow, that's a good one. Well, you know, to be honest, I can't say it was anything I wish I would have known,
mm-hmm.
Because I believe that journey is what helped me get to where I am. And I wouldn't take that back for anything in the world. But if it was anything that I could suggest, it would be to do more personal photography shoots.
Hmm.
Do them for yourself. Do them for practice. Do them for fun. Do them for understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got into the habit of understanding why I should be practicing versus just picking up my camera because someone's called me out for an event or an engagement, whatever. When I finally understood that, you know, that I needed to be picking up my camera, I realized that I was learning from those practice sessions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially when dealing with light, and even with you know, things like your flash for your camera. You get to a wedding and you're fiddling around with your flash trying to find that sweet spot, if you will, and well, why is it taking me so long? I use my flash all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every lighting situation is different, but it wasn't until I started practicing with my flash here in the home that I realized that there are certain things that you could be doing to kind of help you quickly get there when you're actually in the middle of an event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's true.
You know, practice is something that I wish, I guess you could say, that I wish that's something that I wish someone would have told me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you have to constantly practice. You have to, it becomes mundane, but you have to go over those skills and techniques that you've acquired early on, and you kind of have to go back to them and practice those things, because every situation is different, but you should be able to apply those things that you've learned in an instant during an event, and it should be able to be done quickly because you've been practicing.
Absolutely. And when you're shooting a wedding, if you are fiddling with your flash or the settings on your camera, you can miss important moments very quickly.
Important moments. And, you know, that was another reason why I switched from Nikon to Canon. Was because I felt that it was a lot easier for me to adjust on the fly. I had gotten to a point where I was at a wedding and I was adjusting looking at the camera,
mm-hmm.
and realizing, hey, you know, you switched to Canon because everything was simpler for you. So it's to the point now where I can adjust while looking through the viewfinder. And, you know, it's by practice that that's happened. It's not because I was in the middle of an event and decided I needed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It was something I had to practice.
Mm-hmm.
So practice would be the key for me.
Yeah, and one other thing I wanted to mention. A lot of times I found myself at weddings and there are people lined up next to me with their smartphones. And, you know, yeah, you're familiar with this too, where they're taking photos at almost the exact same angle that you're standing at, and you have the couple lined up, and so they're, you know, they're using the poses that you've set up. And in those moments, it's so important to to have practiced and to have your technique down, because you want your photos to stand out from everybody on your left and your right. Exactly. You know, you have to know how to use lighting, and you have to know how to make that photo look professional and better than just, you know, Joe Blow standing next to you.
Right, and that's a big topic now. I mean, I was just doing some reading over the weekend. I can't remember who I was, who the author was, but basically they spoke to the fact that, you know, now in this day and age where you have the iPad user and the iPhone user that attends every wedding, you know, it hasn't become difficult, but just like you're saying, to have a technique, to have, you know, lighting and the use of your camera down to a science, definitely keeps that wow factor. Because, I mean, just like the article was saying, I mean, these pictures are taken after you've posed these individuals, or you've gotten, you know, you've taken that shot and the camera phone user has taken that same shot. The camera phone user is uploading that picture instantly to Facebook or Instagram or wherever.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it was a big thing about the wow factor for the bride and the groom. And my response to that was the professional photographer who understands their equipment and understands lighting would be one that would be able to, even though that picture has already made it out to the World Wide Web, that image that the professional photographer submits should still have that wow factor because of all the, you know, of the things that go into being a professional photographer.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, George, is there a particular photography resource, a tool, book, or even software that you would like to highlight or recommend to our listeners today?
Not necessarily a particular resource, a tool, or book, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, there are a ton of things out there now for us to engage in to help us become better at our craft. And the one thing, I'm a hands-on person. So I get to, even at Imaging USA, I was starting to get to a point to where I'm hearing all these wonderful things from these speakers, and please don't get me wrong, I mean, they were awesome things for me to jot down to remember going forward. But I ran into a situation to where I was ready to go, because I wanted to get my camera, and I wanted to shoot, and I wanted to actually be able to apply some of these things that I was learning. So I would say that the number one resources is understanding your equipment. The number one tool would be that of practicing, you know, the things that you're reading about and learning, and being able to apply them to your situations as a photographer. You know, those things would definitely help you grow an understanding for what you do in the long run. So those would be the things that I would suggest.
Okay.
Because I read everything. You know, I constantly look at different blogs, you know, because everybody has their own take on photography nowadays. And I've read some older books. I have actually an encyclopedia of photography from Time Life back in, I believe this was in the late 70s. It was actually donated to me. And it's a full encyclopedia of photography. So it covers, you know, everything from photojournalism to weddings to lighting, camera mechanics. This is before the DSLR. And it's interesting to see what's in these books. And I would say definitely have a good foundation of photography, but in this day and age with software to manipulate images and even cameras being as robust as they are now, I would definitely say read everything. You know, take in all that you can, but definitely apply it to your situation.
Very good point. And just for our listeners' benefit, you mentioned Imaging USA. That was actually a photography expo in Phoenix, Arizona, which is actually where I met George a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, and I know what you mean about there being a heavy dose of information there. And, you know, I had a little bit of time. I was working a booth most of the time, but I did have a chance to walk through the show for an hour or so. And you really are just assaulted with software, with equipment, and people trying to get your attention. And you do get to a point of overload after a while. Yeah.
And that was my first one. And, you know, I really value that experience because, I mean, what it did for me was it offered me an opportunity to meet with vendors, the product managers. It gave me an opportunity to voice my concerns. But more importantly, it gave me the opportunity to see the quality of work from some of the vendors. To kind of get an idea of what I could expect if I were to order products from those vendors. But once again, the workshops were very informal. It was a trip well worth the expense.
Good.
Because I kind of decided to go at the very last minute. But I recommend it to everyone. But you're right. It was a... I found myself in my hotel room later on that night just looking through all the things that I had handed walking through the expo center and actually planning the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I want to target this vendor to get more information or that vendor to, you know, see this product. So it was definitely an experience that was well worth it.
Excellent. Excellent. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for just giving us so many good tips during this interview and sharing your experience with us. The last question I have for you, but definitely one of the most important, tell us where we can find you, your website, any other resources that you want to point us to.
I can always be found at www.georgeclarence.com. And I would say my main photo dump would be flickr.com at GDC_creative.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be found on Instagram and Twitter at PhotoPixelist is my, I guess you would say, call sign or
excellent.
Whatever you call it. So.
Excellent. And you mentioned a Facebook group. Was it Photo Walk Michigan?
Photo Walk Michigan. Yeah. And the idea behind that group was to basically pair professional photographers with photographers who were, or individuals who were aspiring to become photographers or even just learn a little bit about photography and their cameras. And that's where that group kind of comes together to work together because as you grow in photography, there may be basics that you forget.
Mm-hmm.
And by sharing with someone who is completely new to a camera and the world of photography, it kind of helps that professional get back to basics.
That's awesome.
So it's really a balance between the two, and it helps each other to really kind of get back to basics and kind of, you know, develop those skills again, if you will.
That's awesome. I will definitely list that in the show notes as well. I'll have to check that out for myself, too.
All right.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, George, for just chatting with us. We really appreciate it. It was my pleasure.
All right. Thank you.